Rasmus lines one to center field. That's a base hit. Here comes Omar. Here's Upton Snow to the plate on the fly. The slide, the block of the plate. He is tackled by Biscalen. Out is Omar to end the game as Jose Molina comes up limping after blocking the plate, and Tampa Bay wins it 5-4 on a strike thrown from center fielder B.J. Upton to Jose Molina.
It certainly was a strike thrown by B.J. Upton, and when he let go of the ball, it looked to me like that was going to be a throw that's up and over everything. I thought it was aiming way high, and Molina did have to go up to get it, but he was about a foot up the line towards third base, and Omar Vizquel just ran right into him, and Vizquel never got close to the plate. Molina blocked him off, and it looked like, I don't know, it looked weird. Like Jerry said, a tackle, as Vizquel tried to hit Molina and go through him, and he hit him, but he couldn't go through him. And for the second straight game, we end with the tying run being thrown out at the plate. This time, the Blue Jays are on the wrong side of it. They fall to the Tampa Bay Rays by a score of 5-4. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at the top of the hour at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And let's get right to your calls. Adrian is in Toronto listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Adrian, you're the leadoff man on the Blue Jays Talk.
Incredible finish once again, even though the Jays lost. But my question on that play, I want to talk about two plays, but that play was on the replays. Doesn't it look like had Vizquel stayed in like the normal baseline, he had the whole front part of the baseline to slide in? And now I don't know, obviously, if maybe Molina backed, like he backed towards foul territory at the last second as Vizquel was moving, but it looked to me like had he stayed in the normal baseline, he had the whole plate to get to.
It looked to me like he had a lot of plate, and I'm not sure if it was whether the front or it could have gone around the other side. It did look like he had a lot of plate. I haven't seen a replay, so you've got the edge on me there. I'm sure I will soon. But I haven't seen one yet. And I did think that the plate was certainly there for the taking, that Omar could have gone around instead of trying to go through Molina. But, you know, in that split second, he's being shown by Edwin Encarnacion, slide, slide, slide. And Omar just, I guess, didn't see daylight around Jose Molina.
Yeah, but I was also thinking the inning earlier in the game, I think, when it was 4-2, and I think there were two out, and I believe Davis and Rasmus were on base. Whose call was that to send both of them? Because, I mean, you take
the
bat out of
Encarnacion's
hands.
Yeah, and there was a lot of debate about that. Greg Zahn and I were debating about that on Twitter for a long time.
Why did they do that?
Well, I have no problem with Rajay Davis going there. The problem I have is with Colby Rasmus taking off. I think Davis saw that he had third completely stolen, and he's going to take it, and if you're 100% sure that you've got it and you're Rajay Davis, I trust you. And he did. You look at the play. There was no way Rajay was getting thrown out at third base. Now, Colby got a bad jump and didn't shut it down. And that's the weird thing, is that if you're on the back end of a double steal, you need to get a good jump. Otherwise, you're going to be out at second if the catcher's got half a brain. And Jose Lobaton did, and he made the right throw. And for Rasmus, I don't know why he went. John Farrell just talked about it in his post game, which we will play for you shortly. But according to Tony Ambrogio of Sportsnet, Farrell said that the red light was on, that Rajay Davis was being over-aggressive in that situation, that the red light was on, and Colby was instinctual. I don't quite get that one.
So they basically missed a sign then?
Well,
or ignored. Yeah.
Or ignored a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it makes no sense that you have your top run producer at the plate.
Well, you're not taking – if Rajay Davis steals third base, the bat is not taken out of Edwin Encarnacion's hand.
But I meant if Rasmus, for example, had successfully –
Yeah, then they walk Encarnacion, but yeah. That's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you still have the bases loaded and Adam Lind at the plate, right? And Encarnacion certainly doesn't have a 1,000 on base percentage in that situation. But you would love to get Edwin a swing there. Rasmus has to just stand his ground. I think at that point, that's it.
Yeah, bizarre play, but funny how you can choose consecutive games. You can see that ending, even though we didn't see it in the last, five or six seasons, I think?
We hadn't seen the tying run thrown out at the plate in a Blue Jays win since 1983. Last year, this happened to the Blue Jays again. It happened in Boston. Edwin Encarnacion was thrown out at the plate.
He was safe, though.
He was safe. He was. It was a bad call. Yeah. He was safe. But it is amazing to see back-to-back games end this way. I appreciate the call, Adrian, as always. And I also appreciate on the Twitter at Oogie Boogie. And I didn't think I would ever say that in my broadcast career. But he reminds me that Anthony Ghost could not be here today because you have to stay 10 days on option, and Ghost was optioned on August the 24th. So Anthony Ghost not available to be back up today. He is available to be back up 7 days, 1, 2, 3, September 4th, which is the day that he will be called up. So they could still have expanded the rosters, but they couldn't have had Anthony Ghost here. Nadim is in Mississauga listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nadim, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Mike, thanks for taking my call. You know what? I hear you guys talking about it on the radio, talking about that last play there, like Omar Vizquel tackled him. You know what, Mike? To be honest, my four-year-old can tackle better than that. What kind of play was that? I mean, you know what? If it was an old Canadian boy like Matt Stairs or someone, he would have barreled right through Molina. I know Vizquel isn't the biggest guy or whatever, but at the speed he's going at, physics will tell you, he should have barreled right through him. That was a complete joke of an attempt to try to score there in my mind there, Mike.
So you're saying, Nadim, that based on where he was born, Omar Vizquel did not go through.
No, Mike, come on. You know I'm just saying actually tongue-in-cheek, but all I'm trying to say is he should have barreled right through him. I don't know.
He's at 150-pound disadvantage. Nadim, he's at 150-pound disadvantage.
Doesn't matter, Mike.
Of course it does.
He's running at whatever speed he's running straight into a position target, and you're telling me he can't go with more force than that to try to barrel through him instead of some lazy attempt to... He, hugged his legs. He didn't tackle him.
Yeah, I don't think it was... I don't think it was so much a lazy attempt. It was an odd and curious attempt, but there was certainly nothing about... nothing about it that was lazy. Omar Vizquel was trying to score. He didn't go about it in a very efficient way. It's true. And again, I'm looking forward to seeing a replay to see just how much gas he had left in the tank, because I'm pretty sure he was just about out at that point. But, I mean, it's not worth getting angry about.
Mike, it's not. But at the end of the day, Mike, you go full force and you try to score there. Don't do this little, it looked like he was trying to hug his legs. That's what it looked like on television. You go see the replay. It was a pathetic attempt on his part, a completely pathetic attempt to try to score there. When the game is like that, you don't try to do no silly maneuvers around or try to put your hand between his legs and score. You go straight through the guy. It doesn't matter what he is. You score there perfectly
There's no chance he scores if he tries to go straight through the guy. Just like last night when Elliot Johnson tried to go straight through Jeff Mathis and didn't score. And when Matt Joyce tried to go straight through Jeff Mathis and didn't score. Again, Nadim, all I'm saying to you is this is not worth being angry. There is nothing to be angry about. Bill in Markham, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Mr. Wilner, good afternoon.
Hello, Bill.
I promise I'm not angry.
Good. You don't sound angry. I like that.
Good. Here's the other callers have talked about the same thing I want to talk about. I want to pick up an idea. I have no concept or as to how Major League Baseball teams run. But one of my concerns about the Blue Jays, obviously, at this point this year, they're not going to challenge for the wild card or either of the wild card spots. So, fair enough. Let's let's everybody take a pill and relax. But I'm wondering, is there somebody in the organization, somebody that's an assistant GM or whatever, who sits up in besides Alex and makes a note about the fact that, okay, here's a mistake we made in the fifth inning when Rajay takes off for third, and the trail runner decides, from what you said earlier, on his own to take off and gets gunned down, you know, quite easily, in fact. You know, does somebody make a note of that and say, you know, there's an out that we gave the team that we didn't have to, so next year when we come to spring training, we need to get it through people's heads that that's not what this team does?
No, I don't think there's a specific front office person whose job it is to detail all the mistakes that the Blue Jays are making, but I do think they're very aware of when these things happen, and okay. they address them immediately. I mean, this okay. isn't something, you know, this isn't something that wasn't told to them already.
Okay.
This is something where, you know, people make mistakes. You have human beings who are going to screw up. And,
fair enough.
And they did.
Yeah.
But I certainly don't think that this is a failing of their preparation in spring training. It's not like they didn't tell them in spring training, pay attention to the signs.
Right, right. Could I ask one other thing of
yeah.
you? In terms of Omar Vizquel, I realize that there was no position player to put in. Would it be possible to, is it possible to bring a pitcher who happens to be fleet of foot out of the bullpen to run?
Certainly. It's certainly possible. And I think beside the fact that it would be an insult to Omar,
yeah.
I mean, you might want Casey Jansen would be the guy.
Right.
And he wasn't going to pitch today anyway, having thrown
right.
4 out of 5 days. But I don't want Casey Jansen running into Jose Molina.
Fair enough. Yes. Yeah.
Right. That's
yeah.
your caveat there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, you need that arm for this season and for next as well. Yes, exactly
yeah.
right. Okay, well, thanks. I do hope though for next year that these lessons or whatever get somehow recognize mistakes. But I hope these lessons get pounded in, because I do think this team gives away too many extra outs to the opposition, and if we're going to challenge for the division or for a wild card next year, you know, we can't be doing that.
No, you do have to clean up the mistakes. No question about it. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Mike in Brampton. Mike, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Well, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I had a Stottlemyre reference, but at the same time, Stottlemyre slide, but at the same time, I had... If Vizquel comes in there, I'm not saying he comes in there and hammers Molina or whatever, but, you know, comes in there, maybe dives in, you know, lightly dives in on the left, tries to get that and gets in there. What does that do for his longevity with the Jays and
what
the young guys?
You
they see that and they go, wow, right? But I don't know. They see him kind of slide sideways with, you know,
I don't understand what you mean by longevity. I think you might be thinking of a different word.
Or maybe his... I'm not even sure.
Yeah, he's only got a month left, so...
Yeah, but he'd be around the organization
for a little bit. I doubt that very much.
Not even as an interpreter? Or?
No. I have a feeling that Omar Vizquel will be in Cleveland next year as part of their coaching staff, if not as the manager.
All right, but, last question.
Yeah.
Is Stottlemyre safe on that play, if it's Stottlemyre?
Oh, God, no. Stottlemyre's in his 50s.
No, I mean, Stottlemyre's slide back. You tell me he wouldn't be safe?
I have no idea. You know what? I'm inclined to believe that anybody else would have been safe on that play. I'm watching a replay right now, and Omar Vizquel was sliding, trying to go around Molina.
Kind of hugged his leg.
Well, it was weird because I'm looking.
Yeah.
I just looked at it half a second ago, and
it
was a slide. It was a feet first slide to the outside, and Vizquel's head or shoulder hit Molina's knee as he was trying to get around him, and it was far enough in front of the plate that he just kind of stopped right there, and I'm watching a monitor, and they're going to show it to me again, and that's not at all what I had thought happened. I thought Vizquel was still standing up when he went into Molina, but he's sliding.
It's kind of sliding with his feet pointing towards the dugout.
Bill, I'm watching it, or Mike, I'm watching it right now. So, you know, okay. You saw it half an hour ago. So let me take some people through it here. It was a slide towards the outside, and it looked as though what he was trying to do was slide past Molina on the outside and kind of smack the plate with his hand going by. He never even got close to the plate. And now I'm watching it again. I'm going to see, did Molina back up? And I don't think he did. He was just kind of in the right place. And Vizquel was a step too short. That's what it came down to, that he was a step too short, and he tried to slide, and it was just too late. Molina managed to come down with the ball and get a piece of Omar's shoulder with his knee, and that's when the tackle sort of thing happened. And I'm getting another look at it right now, and Omar certainly didn't seem like he was out of gas, but that slide, I mean, it was way more of a slide than what I thought. But just happened too early. And, again, you have another runner in there. Chances are he's there a step sooner, and this game is tied. Got some audio for you before we get to any more callers, and I don't know that we'll have time to get to any more callers. But the audio is, first of all, from John Farrell. Here's what the manager had to say in the wake of today's loss to the Rays.
Tough ball game. We created a couple opportunities in the last two innings for us. We forced Upton to throw a 300-foot strike to end the ball game, and he did. I thought the guys came out of the bullpen and threw the ball effectively. But I think as you look back on this one, it's a couple of missed opportunities. We get over-aggressiveness on Rajay's part. We know he's a good base stealer. He's aggressive. But in this case, he ended up running through a stop sign and a red light. And with Edwin at the plate, at that time of the game, down two runs, that's a pivotal point in the ballgame. But we continue to battle. We continue to come back, put pressure on them all the way through the final out of the game. And as I mentioned, force them to throw a 300-foot strike at the end of the ballgame.
John, you've been around baseball for a number of years. Have you ever seen back-to-back games and the way they did this last two games?
No, not this way. It's exciting finish. Fans are getting certainly everything they come here for. Competitive baseball, good, clean, hard baseball that's been played here, and fully anticipate that to be the case again tomorrow. We're putting ourselves in a position to win, and that was the case again today. But you know what? Rodney's probably one of the top closers in the game this year. He comes in, Edwin has a great at-bat against Peralta to load the bases, and then we're sitting there with, our 5-6 hole hitters. After Peralta gives up the base hit, the two-run single to Lindy, he stepped on it and got two big strikeouts to end the threat. But, that was an exciting eighth inning, and even the final play of the game, obviously.
John, does Colby just naturally go to second after he sees Rajai going to third on that play?
Yeah, that's an instinctual play. The trail runner, again, he knew that the red light was on, and yet instinctually he saw the lead runner break and got hung up.
What were your thoughts on Henderson's performance today?
With the exception of the four-run inning, I thought he threw the ball aggressively. After the 0-2 breaking ball for the home run, it looked like he kind of got a little bit too fine, and a couple of the walks mixed in there came back to haunt him a little bit. But he had very good stuff today.
John, did you think about pinch running for Omar?
Well, we have either Jeff Mathis or McCoy had pinch run the inning before for... So, no, we don't have anybody that's got any more speed than him.
When Colby hit the ball, did you think he'd score easily? Or
it was going to be a bang-bang play. B.J. Upton's probably got one of the strongest throwing arms of any outfielder in this league. Can be a little erratic at times. We forced him to throw a strike, and he did.
So there it is, John Farrell talking about the last play, talking about the Rajay Davis and Colby Rasmus failed double steal in the fifth inning. He didn't mention Yunel Escobar when he was talking about pinch running options for Vizquel, and I don't know if he forgot about him or if that was intentional in saying that they didn't have anybody who's faster than Vizquel as far as position players are concerned. And watching that replay again from a different angle, you could see plainly that the throw from B.J. Upton, because it was high, took Molina backwards into Omar Vizquel, and he took two, maybe three steps back. So Vizquel had the idea of sliding around him, but Molina took those couple of steps back in order to catch the throw, and it took him basically right into Omar's shoulder and head. And again, you're wondering if a faster runner isn't there a few inches ahead, a foot sooner, and maybe gets in. Alex Anthopoulos held court with the media before the game. He tends to do that at least once a homestand. We asked him a whole bunch of questions, and we'll give you a taste of a couple of them right here. The one thing we asked was, what would Carlos Villanueva's role be if he was here with the Blue Jays next year? Are they seeing him? Do they know enough so far whether he'll be a starter or a reliever?
I think we're finding out. I mean, I think the more we see him pitch, we're finding out more about him. Obviously, he started last year. He had 12 starts for us, and you know, had some health issues. But he's obviously gotten through those, and he's been much better. And he came into camp in great shape, and he told us he really prepared for the opportunity, and so he's been able to get through things. But I think right now he's doing a great job for us, and it's fun to watch.
He is indeed, and he wants to be a starter next year. Also on the team next year is likely to be Brett Cecil, because he's out of options. Cecil will come up as a September call-up, and the Blue Jays will use him out of the bullpen.
The fact that he's the left-handed, his splits have always been good. Now, we might find something there out of the pen, and maybe shorter stints, but he's been able to still get swing and misses, get some strikeouts, left-hander. So that's definitely something we're going to keep an eye on for the last month.
So there you go. There's a couple of nuggets from Alex Anthopoulos in the pregame today about Brett Cecil, about Carlos Villanueva. The Blue Jays lose it on a block off, a hose-out, close-out. Tampa Bay beats them 5-4. We'll check the scoreboard as we continue. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Blue Jays fall 5-4 to the Tampa Bay Rays as Omar Vizquel gets thrown out at the plate by B.J. Upton with two out in the bottom of the ninth to end it. Let's see what else is going on around the major leagues. Two games in the American League. Seattle leading the Angels 2-1 in the bottom of the third. Trayvon Robinson is his second home run of the season in support of Felix Hernandez. The Twins are playing 2 in Kansas City. Top of the second in the opener. Minnesota's up 1-0 on an RBI double by Justin Morneau. Earlier, the Yankees get 3 in the seventh to beat Baltimore 4-3 and send the Orioles back 3 games out of first place. In the AL East, the Rays close to within a game and a half of the Orioles for that second wild card. In the National League, Phillies lead the Braves 2-0, bottom 3. Jimmy Rollins with his 16th. Washington 4 in the first, lead the Cardinals 4-2, bottom 2. Earlier, the Giants beat the Cubs 5-2. Tim Lincecum 8-14 with the win. This four-game series will end tomorrow afternoon, and we'll have it for you, beginning with the pregame at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 107 first pitch. David Price versus Ricky Romero. Enjoy your Saturday night, but before you head out, go hit up facebook.com/baseballhall and cast your daily vote for Tom Cheek. It is, as always, much appreciated. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. Again, that's facebook.com/baseballhall. For Jerry Howarth, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good evening from Toronto.